and favor with God. There's also sanctification. You see, regeneration and justification take place at the same time, and they are full and complete when they happen. But sanctification is a process that takes place throughout your lifetime. As long as your eyes are blinking here in this earth, and as long as your mouth is moving here in this earth, and as long as you are breathing this earth's air, you are in the process of being what?
Sanctified.
Just sanctified. Sanctification is the experience. It's the beginning of regeneration. It's where the believer is set apart to God's service. It's where the believer is set apart as different from the world. The believer is made to mature through this process. You see, when you get saved, you're not totally mature. We think we are. And we think others ought to be. Oh, you know, Brother Jeff, that old woman, she came down and she got saved last Sunday, but you know, she's still Bill Smith. So she ain't saved. Brother Jeff, that drunk came and got saved last Sunday, but he's still drinking. Look, a baby's dirty when it's born.
Come on.
That's right.
And when we're newborn,
we
still got some dirt on us.
Come on, amen.
But we grow. That baby's wrinkled up, but they grow, and they grow out of those wrinkles to grow into those wrinkles at the end of 60, 70 years. You see what I'm saying? Sanctification is the process whereby we find ourselves in glorification. We're glorified. We'll be with Him one day. And that will be when we will be perfect. We will be complete. We will have the final blessing of abiding in the state of redemption. All these years, we will now be with the redeemed for all of eternity. Is that beautiful? Is that beautiful? Well, I think that's a reminder. I think that's why we're doing this today. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded that we have been regenerated. We are living among a people that do not understand that. We live in a society that does not comprehend that.
That's right.
But you and I need to remember that we have been changed. We are His by adoption. Here's the first thing we need to remember. We need to remember God's works. That's in verses 1 and 2 of Titus. Because you see, there's that word remind. Remind them. Remind them. That's present tense. You school teachers, we go on reminding. We need to go on reminding to be ready for God's works. Not just being subject to rulers and authorities. We can easily assume that we are to live a passive life as we live for the authorities and we live for the rulers. But that's not the case. Again, we need to go to a definition of the word passive. Passive means acted upon by an external agency, receptive to outside impressions or influences. It also carries the idea of lack in energy or will, induced by an outside agency, not taking an active or dominant part or role. You see, there's three words that I find here that we need to understand. First of all, we don't need to be surrendered to society.
Come on. Come on.
We do not need to be lethargic. We do not need to be paralyzed. To be submissive means to be surrendered to society. It means to be lethargic. It means to be paralyzed. But yet we, as we're subject to rulers and authorities, we need to be ready in every good work. We need to be living in a world that's surrounded by outsiders as we show the works of grace, as we show the works of mercy, as we show the works of peace to this world.
That's
they
right.
need it.
That's right.
Our world needs peace. Today there's a huge funeral being held. Thousands and thousands of people will gather. They spent this whole week, our government, preparing for this funeral. Security guards, bomb sweeps, the whole thing. Look, let me tell you something. there's a lot of non-peace right there at that place.
Mm.
Mm. Because there are some law enforcement officials who have a feeling. Don't you think so? I mean, they would. And they're going to do everything they can to protect the people who go into that stadium. But I want you to know our world needs peace.
Come on.
Amen.
Our world needs it more than ever. Our world needs mercy. Our world needs grace. Our world needs Jesus. And because we do that, because we're showing mercy, because we're showing grace, because we're showing peace, we need to speak evil of no one. We need to live at peace as long as it's possible with us. We need to live gentle lives. We need to show humility to all.
Yes, yes.
Are you sure?
Hmm.
A rascal was telling the story. I'm not going to tell all the particulars, but I'm going to tell the story. Recently, I listened to a table of folks from several different churches sitting next to me. I finally tuned them out. I had to, because I was getting very fleshy. But as I tuned them out, I questioned the setting, and I questioned the complaints that they were making about their particular churches. And I reminded myself, they are the church.
That's right.
They're talking about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, one step further, and it broke my heart. If an unbeliever was listening, did that conversation do anything to glorify God?
Come on.
Or did it do anything to draw people to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
I've been there.
Yep.
You've been there. We've all done it.
Yep.
We need to remember. We need to remember that we are the light. And that we are living in darkness. And we need to stay living in that light. We may not agree with things, but that doesn't mean that we air them out in public so all of non-believers can hear.
Mm-hmm.
We need to keep some things to ourselves. I'm learning to keep my mouth shut. That's hard for a preacher who lives by his mouth, talking constantly, carrying on conversations. I'm learning. Here's the second thing I'm having to remember. Secondly, we need to remember what we used to be. We used to be like that unbelieving world. We used to be like the lost. We were lost. We were undone. We were facing an eternity without Jesus Christ. We were dirty. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously lived according to this world, we ourselves were such a people. We ourselves lived that way. We lived in the gutters. We were drinking from the polluted wells. We were stepping in mire. And we were sleeping in restless, haunted slumber. We were foolish." The scripture says in Titus chapter 3, we were foolish. We were disobedient. We were deceived. We need to go on reminding. We need to remember that grace has built us. And there are pillars of that grace, that foundation in our life. We as God's people, Christians, need to repair those foundations. If the foundations be destroyed, what are the righteous to do?
Mm.
Build up your foundation. Here's the first thing you can do. You need to build it up with gratitude. We have become the most grumbling people in all the world. We grumble about this. We grumble about that. We grumble about this. We grumble because we can't do this. We grumble because we're not able to do this. We grumble. We're the grumblingest people I've ever seen in my life. We need to come up with gratitude. We need to be grateful for how God has changed us.
Amen.
And how He's changing us day after day after day. Secondly, we need to find humility. We need to humble ourselves as we see that it was His Word that changed us. It was not of yourself that you've been saved. It was by the grace of Jesus Christ you have been saved.
Yes.
You have nothing that you can boast about. I can boast about nothing but ashes and dung. But I can boast in the Lord Jesus Christ who has saved me. And I will humbly tell you, He saved me. And I am thankful.
Amen.
Here's the third thing. Kindness. Kindness to others who are in the same place. I told you the stories about the people complaining about the people coming to the altar to be saved. They were saved miraculously, not of themselves, but it's a gift of God. You too. You may not have been the worst. You know, you weren't the drinker and you weren't the carouser. And you weren't a bad person. You just realized that without Jesus Christ, you would spend eternity in hell. Oh, but Brother Jeff, I was a good person. No, you weren't. You were lost. And lost people are not good people. Oh, they can act it. They can pretend it. But deep down in their soul, they're not good. Because there's none good, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to be kind to people who've come to know Jesus Christ. They may not be living it, but we need to be kind to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, to be honest with you, we don't need to complain about them. We need to bring them along and mentor them.
That's right. Come on.
Because, you know, Titus even goes further by saying, you older men, you take the younger men and teach them.
That's right.
Older women, excuse me. I know. I'm sorry. Advanced age.
Long hair.
Gray hair. Blue hair. I don't know what to call you. Can I just say older women?
Chronologically gifted.
Older women. You need to take the younger and bring them along.
That's right.
Quit complaining about their dress length.
Mm-hmm.
Quit complaining about how short their shorts are. Quit complaining about the way they talk back to people. Just take them under your wing and teach them. Show them Jesus Christ.
That's
show
right.
them mercy. Again, the same thing. These boys got their... their belt is at their knees. We need to teach them. And first thing you do is reach back there and pull up those pants. And then say, a gentleman doesn't wear his pants that way. You see, I'm a gentleman. We teach them. We teach them about Jesus. We teach them about His love. We teach them about His mercy. We show kindness to others that are in the same place we are. But we have faith that God can change those who are still lost. We have faith that Jesus is still reaching out to that neighbor that we have who doesn't know Jesus Christ. We still have faith that Jesus Christ is reaching into the heart of that one we work beside who has a foul mouth. We pray and we have faith that God is going to save the very last person one day and then He's coming back for
us. Amen.
Here's the third thing. We need to remember the great salvation, verses 4 and 8. That's number 2, isn't it? No, it's number 3. We need to remember the great salvation of God, verses 4 through 8. Because you see, when we were in the place that's described in verse 3 of Titus chapter 3, where it says, "For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another." Boy, do we know the description that is.
Mm-hmm.
We need not rescue ourselves. Some are misguided, some need reminding. We were rescued by the kindness and the love of God. He reached down for me.
Mm-hmm.
He reached out to me. He reached down to me before I could reach up to Him. He reached out to me before I could reach out to Him. Long before. Oh friend, I want you to know this salvation that has regenerated you, that's made you a new man. A new person. This salvation that justified you, that called you forgiven, that cleansed you. This salvation that is sanctifying you, creating in you a new person. This salvation that's you're going to face glorification one day. You're going to be in the very presence of God. You're going to be perfect. You're going to be pristine. We need to know that that is not because of some altar call. It's not because of some sinner's prayer. It's not because of some baptism. It's not because of some church attendance. It's not because of giving. It's not because of reading the Bible. All these things are wonderful things, but they are the works. They are the works of righteousness. You and I have been saved according to His great mercy.
That's right. That's right.
He saved us by His mercy. He saved me. He saved you. He saved us because His Holy Spirit has been poured out in us by Jesus Christ because of His grace. Mm-hmm. I'm an heir. Mm-hmm. I don't have much to claim down here in heirlooms. I mean, I've got things that I collect. Dina collects things. We both collect things. We're collectors. There's another word for that, but I don't think we need to use it.
Just move along. Move along.
I do love it. But I want you to know something, my friend. None of those are special. None of those are as priceless. None of those are as of great worth as my salvation.
Amen.
God is always the initiator. We receive from Him before we give anything back. This, my friends, is regeneration. It's the washing. It's the spiritual cleansing. It's not physical. Again, so many want to say, well, you've got to be baptized to be saved. No, you don't. Mm-mm. The Bible doesn't say that. Mm-mm. The Bible does talk about a spiritual baptism. And that's the first baptism. That happens when you believe. The Spirit cleanses us. The spiritual is done by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 says it's to make holy, cleansing with the washing of water by the Word. Now, saved people work. We're not saved because of work. We're saved to work.
That's right.
Because of our faith. It's our faith that saves us. But our faith is not alone. Briscoe said, the theology of Christianity is based on grace. The ethics of Christianity is based on gratitude.
Hmm. Hmm.
Get it? Mm-hmm. We serve because we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
And to not serve because we're saved. I don't know if you're growing or not. I don't know if you're changing or not. Verses 9 through 11 tell us to remember to keep on course. Because you see, we live for Christ. We show others Christ through our actions. We shine to light the darkness. We can't do this if we're delving into foolish disputes, if we're being driven and we are a divisive person. This scripture says there are two things that we need to do. We need to avoid and we need to reject. We need to avoid, as a regenerated believer, as a Christian, we need to avoid those things that will drag us down, those negatives. And He lists them for you in the Scripture. We need to avoid. But we also need to reject. We need to reject those. We need to stand up to the ones who insist on going their own way. We need to understand that they have condemned themselves. Now listen. I was thinking about this as I was jotting these down, and this came to me, and you can't even read what I wrote. In our society, Mary Emily, they say that we judge them.
Mm-hmm.
If we must go to the extreme to avoid or reject. Is that not right? Society says that, right? Oh, you judged me.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Mm-mm.
No, I just want to love you. Oh, but you're a judge. You judge that one, and you judge that one. You're going to judge me too. No, I just want to show you love. I just want to show you love, Jesus. But if they continue to go down that path and continue to reject the love of God, then we need to step back.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not doing it in judgment because they've already condemned themselves. Mm-hmm. They've already made a decision. They've already decided against Jesus. We're not judging. We just recognize their self-judgment. And honestly, it grieves my heart. Grieves my heart when there's someone who I've drawn close to. Someone that maybe that I even led to the Lord. Someone that I've spent time praying over. Someone who I've walked through the deep dark valleys of life with them. And then they go another way. It grieves my heart. But I want you to know, they're self-judging themselves. Living among the lost, we need to live as regenerated people. And these generated people that we are, we need to long for the salvation of the unbelievers. We need to long for the unregenerate. Our altars need to be full of people praying and crying out to God.
That's right.
Our prayer closets need to be constantly used praying for people who are lost. We need to constantly be lifting up the name of someone in our private prayer. Because this world needs revival.
Amen.
This world needs restoration.
Amen.
This world needs regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Will you pray? Will you pray with me? Will you pray? Because if His people pray, oh, what a time that's going to be.
Come on.
When people, the God's people, get down to business with God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share. As I've studied with you, Father, I pray that you would be in my heart.